Well, I hope you all are prepared to preach this morning. If you read the email I sent out yesterday with our order of service and our Zoom link for this morning, you would have seen that I am inviting you to take part in this morning's sermon by sharing places that you see evidence of God's kingdom, evidence of joy breaking through in our world. So keep that in mind as we go forward here together today. I'll give you some time to think about it later in the sermon. But before we get to that time of witnessing to joy together, I want us to have a little bit of context as to what's happening in our scripture and think about this together. So in our gospel text for today that Lois just read for us, we see that Jesus is out preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and John the Baptist is prevented from continuing his ministry because he has been imprisoned by King Herod. King Herod is very angry at John for daring to criticize him in the public square, and so, of course, what would you do as a person in power but throw the person that annoys you in prison? John is not having a good day. He's not having a good week, even a good month. He's really in a rough spot. So even though several chapters before in our story, John witnesses the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus at his baptism, and God's voice speaks from the heavens declaring that Jesus is God's son, it seems John is having some doubts about whether Jesus is really the Messiah or not. Maybe he's doubting because he's stuck in jail. Maybe he's just having one of those days where it's hard to hold on to hope. Maybe he wants to hope, but he's afraid to. Whatever the reason, he sends some of his disciples who visited him in prison to go and ask Jesus for him once and for all, are you really the one we're waiting for? Yes or no? Now, to us, it might seem tempting to roll our eyes at John and say, come on, man, are you really serious? You literally heard God's voice speak a blessing over Jesus at his baptism. You saw the Holy Spirit descend on him and God say, this is my son, and you heard it. What more evidence do you need? But before we're too hard on John, it might be good to take a beat and think about the times in our own lives when we too have wondered, is Jesus enough? Can Jesus really save us all and this entire earth from the destruction and pain that humanity seems to bring upon itself? Is God's kingdom really coming on earth, like Jesus said? I know I've had days where I wonder if things are really getting better or if humanity is just stuck on a hamster wheel of self-destructive behavior without any way of getting off. Can the power and love of Jesus really dismantle oppressive systems, bring hope to the poor, stop Christian nationalism in its tracks? Are we making progress in this struggle for peace and justice, or are we just plain struggling? Maybe that's how John felt that day as he sat in his gloomy prison cell wondering, is anything really changing? Will Jesus really bring the change our community and world needs? Wouldn't the true Messiah fix our problem a whole lot faster? Would I even be here in jail if the Messiah was actually out there? Is Jesus fixing anything, or should I just resign myself to a future of more oppression and imprisonment for those who dare to speak out against corruption? So, Jesus is approached by John's disciples with this question. Are you really the one? Or should we wait for someone else? And as is typical of Jesus, he doesn't give a straight answer or definitive response. He doesn't say, you betcha, it's me, the chosen one, the savior you've all been waiting for. Follow me and I will fix all your problems. Instead, Jesus turns it back around and puts it right on them. What do you hear and see? People are being transformed. Lives are being changed for the better. People who were in despair are rejoicing with good news. Those who were seen as unclean and outsiders are being brought back into the community with others. Go tell John that. Let the evidence speak for itself. Don't you see what is happening? Can't you hear it? In the midst of struggle and oppression, in the midst of pain and suffering, joy is breaking in because God is changing the world. And so when we ask Jesus that same question, hey, Jesus, are you really the one? His response to us would likely be the same. What do you see and hear? Where do you see transformation and joy? That is where I am working. That is where God is moving. Go tell people about it. Celebrate the goodness that you see and join in the joyful work of the Spirit's restoration of all creation. So, as I read this story this week and thought about this morning, I decided what better way for us to do this together and dwell on this question than to actually take time to answer it. Now, I thought about making a list of all the ways that I personally see joy breaking through in the world and sharing that with you, but it seemed so inadequate without the shared witness of the whole congregation. So I decided we should think together about this question. What do we see and hear? Where do you see signs of the kingdom? Where have you seen true joy or restoration? What good news do we have to share? If we were to visit John in prison today and share the signs of the kingdom unfolding among us, what would we say? What joy do we have to share? So what I want to do is give us a couple minutes to just sit in silence and think about these questions. What joy have you experienced? What signs of the kingdom do you see? And then we will take some time to pass a mic around and share our joy with one another. But first, some silence. We can get the mic. You can raise your hand if you have something that came to mind or that you came prepared to share this morning, and state your name before you share so we know who you are. Judy.
Well, you know what I'm gonna say. I'm so happy that Kathy is here with us. Those of you that were on some of the Zoom calls with Refugee Resettlement know that I hit moments of despair that this family was never going to come. And so it just brings me so much joy that she's here to meet you all today. So this is a lot of prayers answered right now. And joyful to have Kathy as a friend and to get to have a part, play a role in helping her children to come to know Jesus and to learn and to grow with us. So praise God.
Judy had a hand up over there.
Sometimes we're sad because we don't see kids much when we come on Sunday morning. And I was out in the foyer, and I heard beautiful music being made, and I think it was by kids. And then I saw wonderful kids come in and greet me, and I got to meet them for the first time. And I saw children take ribbons and twirl them as the adults sang the music. And I saw another kid rejoicing in a snowflake he just made. So I'm thankful for kids and the joy that they can bring to us today.
Well, I am very grateful. Oh, my name is Mary. That I stayed healthy this week. And Wayne and I were able to go to New York City and be with Megan and David. We got up at 6 o'clock this morning to make it back. So a little bit sleepy. But that brought me much joy that I was able to go there after not being there for a year and a half. So thank you for your prayers. The other thing, Wayne's going to share another experience that we had, just being in the city and seeing people from all over the world and eating foods. Went to a Persian restaurant and got Bolivian food. And anyway, just the joy of being able to enjoy other cultures. But also wanted to highlight that one way I see the kingdom of God breaking forth in Mosaic Conference is through one of our conference-related ministries called the Midian Project. It's a new CRM. And there's a young man, Tarand Rush. If you've read the most recent Mosaic news, there was an article about what he's doing in Charleston, West Virginia, with young men, predominantly black young men. But he's a recent grad of Eastern Michigan University, and he has a vision for helping young men in his community to learn about restorative justice practices and to model that in the school. He gave an example of the school cafeteria and kids throwing food, and then rather than being disciplined and, you know, put in detention or whatever, to work at more restorative practices of learning how that food throwing affects janitors and other people. And then the other is trauma healing through sports. That's another avenue where he is trying to work at God's kingdom of justice and healing.
Hi, I'm Wayne. Yesterday, Megan and David took us to the Museum of the City of New York on the Upper East Side. It's a museum that particularly celebrates New Yorkers and the things that New Yorkers are doing through history and in the present. One of the exhibits was about groups that have helped to bring change not only to New York City, but to our country and to the world. And the displays had various segments of that change through civil rights and the journey of civil rights in New York City, worker rights, the rights for textile workers and many of the clothing factories that were likely in our very own next door building, which was at one point a clothing factory. And the inhumane expressions of injustice there, and the protests of very common people. Women's rights, LGBTQ inclusion. War advocacy through the Vietnam War and nuclear disarmament and many other things. Most of us kind of think about New York City perhaps in a more negative light, but significant change to our country has originated in that city, and I don't think we would be where we are as a country if it weren't for New Yorkers and advocacy there. Constant reminder that we have a long way to go, that it is, as you said, Jessica, a struggle, but that there is hope and there's joy in that struggle.
Sometimes nature gives you such an awe moment of God, and this week the moon was just gorgeous and so beautiful. And that, along with the beautiful Christmas lights from the different houses, was just amazing as Bob and I took a little drive around just in our neighborhood the other night. And I was just so awestruck by that.
This week was a joyful week for me, and I wanted to share that. As many of you know and have prayed so much for me, this month is the fourth anniversary of my first surgery. And so I had my follow-up with my surgeon, who's an amazing man and a man of faith. And throughout all these 4 years, there's some really difficult times with him and me making decisions that were very frightening. But during that time, we were both able to work with each other and go through this process. Yesterday, when I went for my follow-up, he looked at me and he said, "You are healed." Mm. What more is there to say?
A couple weeks ago, when Will and I were driving home from church, I noticed in the woods across the road from our house this beautiful pink blur. I thought, what is that? So when we parked our car at home, I had to go over to the woods and see what it was. And it was a tree blooming in mid-November. These beautiful pink blossoms. And it just gave me so much joy. The surprise of it, and to see this beauty amongst all the dark tree trunks. So I cut some branches and brought them in the house to share with others. I cut some and took them to Tina Long, and she just exhilarates over this beautiful pink that's in her house. And it just reminded me about the scripture that Leona read this morning about the desert blooming. This to me was like blooming in that darkness.
Well, I can't share anything so exciting, but for an old man, I had two episodes this week that really brought joy to me as I think back on it. I had problems with one of my credit cards, and I had to change the number, you know, because I think I was whatever. And then I realized that, you know, there's this several automatic payments that come with that card. And I thought, oh, my goodness, now I have to check that out. So my two moments of joy was conversation with two different people to straighten out the credit card business. And they were so nice. Usually you don't get nice people at the end of something like that. That was my moments of joy.
This is Ron. I was reading a couple of psychologists from University of Pennsylvania, Martin Seligman and Angela Duckworth, and they were extolling the virtues of gratitude. So I decided to give my students a gratitude assignment, and I knew that if I didn't assign points to it, they wouldn't do it. So I told them, what I want you to do is to write a letter of gratitude, and preferably, again, handwritten, and specifically identify something that you're grateful for somebody in your life. And again, don't just say I'm thankful, but be specific about what you're thankful for. And then the next part of the assignment was that they had to take this letter and read it to them, the person they're writing it for. And then the joy was to sit around, and I have a little circle time here in class, and to listen to all of these students share about these moments of joy as they shared with these persons who they said, I'm really grateful for a whole variety of things. Some chose teachers, some chose parents, some chose coaches, persons in church. And it was just really, almost overwhelming to hear them relate these moments. And there were tears, which Seligman said there was going to be tears. But it is interesting to think about and helpful to think about ways that we can be have gratitude and be grateful for others. And what that does for us, that sense of happiness that comes with that. So that was a good moment.
So this is Sue Lawrence. I want to echo what everybody has mentioned today about children. To see the children, all of the children here today, visitors and children that are regular attenders, as well as all the children in the world that just have magic in their eyes this time of year. And going back to that is my years as a preemie nurse with the little teeny tiny preemies that I was reminded of yesterday. We were doing some yard work outside and everything. You know, we were leaving some things so that the critters would have a space during the winter and the pollinators could come in. But as I was working in the garden, there was a little tiny seedling that had come from one of my pansies in the spring. Little teeny, teeny, tiny plant underneath the shelter of an azalea bush. And yesterday, a little teeny, teeny, tiny blossom was blooming in the sun. And I'm one of those people that loves spring. I love it best because of all the new life. And I used to walk around my garden when I had a big garden and watch all the new things coming up. And it just reminded me, this little teeny, tiny, fragile-looking plant blooming in the sun. And I thought that was a God thing. And it just brought me back to my years as preemies, these little tiny, fragile babies that just were just so strong in so many ways.
When I was sitting up here during the time of silence and I was looking at the cross and then our table here, it just reminded me of all the different churches around the world that are celebrating Christ and God's love. And then I looked at the table here where we're doing the donations for fish, and I just thought, you know, that we bring joy to people's lives that don't have enough food, but also it brings joy to us knowing that we're serving Christ.
My name is Dawn, and I just wanted to share that that the fellowship that we go to had a project for Thanksgiving, and it was a Honduras project to raise enough money to supply 60 families, one village, with a clean filtration water system, and this system was $30. And there was not only one village, it was multiple villages. And I was thinking about what the focus was this morning, encouraging, and I just think how encouraging it is to think that God's people can have such an impact on people's lives. And this was like a physical way, but who knows what other impact it can have.
I just needed to say yet that when I came in here and saw all the food gone from the table, during the week I came up here and it was loaded and it filled me with so much joy, and then I was disappointed when it wasn't there this morning. And then I thought, no, it's where it needs to be, not there. It's where it needs to be. Wayne, get with it here. Thank you, Dave. And there's something about rotting a dog or something that up behind you there. I know it has some. I'm sure it has something to do with a dog, but I don't know.
I think Leona's having fun rearranging those letters every week.
I'm sorry, Wayne. I didn't get what you said.
Well, it's been a joy listening to the joys that everyone brought and has been sharing this morning. And one of my observations is seeing how, you know, it's a little slow to get started. And then once one person says something, it sparks another thing and another thing and another thing. And the joy and the things that we're noticing, it just grows. And I think that that's part of the reason that Christ asks, you know, go and tell what you see and hear, because in telling what we see and hear, it allows the joy to grow. It allows us to pay better attention and to notice more together than we can by ourselves. And so we have been witnessing to this good news of Jesus Christ among us in different things, in giving food, receiving food, in the beauty of nature, in being healed from bodily ailments that we're struggling with for years, in the joy of seeing the work of activism bear good fruit, the joy of being with family, the joy of children, the joy of so many things that we have shared together. And so just as we have shared together, John's disciples returned to him to tell him what they saw and heard. And now, what did John do with what they told him? We don't know. John lived out the rest of his life in prison. But we also have that question, what do we do with all that we have shared together? What do we do with all the goodness and joy that we have shared? We share it with our friends, our families, our neighbors, and our world, and we do our best to become living signs of kingdom joy in a world that so desperately needs it. But we've also confessed that it's often a struggle. How do we hold on to those moments of joy in a world that is full of so much pain and suffering? How did John hold on to that joy while he was sitting in a prison cell? Is it insensitive to speak boldly of joy when so many are struggling? And when we ourselves are struggling, can we muster up the strength to proclaim any good news? Well, this is what I think. I think that it's the struggle and the pain that makes sharing good news of great joy so powerful and important. And the joy that we share is not a superficial feeling of happiness or an ignorantly optimistic view of the world. The joy of Christ is something deeper than that. Christian author and theologian Henry Nouwen describes joy this way. And I quote, "Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away." End quote. Joy is the experience and reminder that we are loved unconditionally in all circumstances, no matter what. Think about how many of the things that we just shared as expressions of joy and good news were stories of people being shown love and care, of lives being changed for the better, of showing compassion to others. There is joy in knowing we are cared for. There is joy in experiencing kindness and compassion and sharing kindness and compassion. There is joy where people advocate for the well-being of their friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. And every time we do a small act of kindness, like bringing a branch of flowers blooming to a friend or putting food up on this table, we are sharing that joy. We become an embodiment of Christ's joy in the world, living signs of the kingdom. And when others do those things for us, they become those signs of joy and reminders of Christ's love in our lives as well. So, as we enter this third week of Advent together, the week of joy, with our joy candle lit down here, let us go forth into the shadows of this world, holding on to whatever joy we can. In the face of everything that is yet to be restored, let us have the strength to boldly embody love and proclaim that Christ is coming and Christ is already here, making all things new. May we live in such a way that brings joy to a world that so desperately needs it. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit to respond by singing joy to the world.